production of Pioneer Utility Resources. StoryConnect, helping communicators discover ideas to shape their stories and connect with their customers.
How can empowered youth build your brand story? That's what we'll be talking about on this episode of the StoryConnect podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Megan McCoy-No, one of the storytellers at Pioneer Utility Resources, and I am joined by Chanel Christensen, the Culture and Training Development Strategist at Sioux Valley Energy. Now, y'all are located in South Dakota and Minnesota. You serve about 29,000 members, and I am so excited that you are joining us today, Chanel. You lead a program for the next generation of consumer members in your community, and I heard you talk about this. You've spoken at Connect and at Minnesota Rural Electric Association's training, and I wanted you to talk about it today. Tell us about how your Empower Youth Leadership Program works.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here today. Empower Youth was created with the thought of, we want the youth of today to understand the cooperative difference, you know, why we matter, why we're here, what we're doing within our communities, why were we created. It started in 2014 with this idea, and in 2015 we actually launched our very first year. We meet 4 times a year on days that are typically holidays for students. So for example, Veterans Day, President's Day, Martin Luther King Day, and Columbus Day. And I know those are all in the wrong order, but typically they're holidays for these students. So they come from all across our service territory, and they participate in Empower Youth. And it's a variety of leadership skills, learning what a cooperative is, finding their strengths through strength finders, building connections within students from across our territory. It has evolved into this incredible program that we've had just about 600 students go through. And we're making quite the impact within our area. It's pretty an incredible thing to be a part of.
So in 2025, you're going to be celebrating the 10th year of the Empower Youth Leadership Program. And I'm not sure if you know this, but 2025 is also going to be the United Nations International Year of Cooperatives.
Well, how about that?
I know. Isn't that nice when things work well and just pair up like that so you can celebrate and, you know, celebrate your program and how this is helping to talk about the business model. But it's not just about cooperatives, right? It really is. And a lot of folks do cooperative education, right, for their youth as part of their youth tour or statewide youth leadership programs. But I was really impressed with how this program really has them come in on those days when they don't have school generally. And it's a lot of leadership training. So you mentioned some of that. Why do you think it's important for students to have access to leadership training?
Well, I think that because they're our future leaders. You know, they're our future employees, they're our future members, they're our future board of directors. So it's so important to tap into them as they're getting ready, looking at their future career. They're looking at those colleges that they're going to be going to. Where am I going to be in the next 5 years? And if we can help them establish the leadership skills that they're going to need, help them identify the career path that they want to go on, why not? They're going to come back someday and say, I went through this program with Sioux Valley, and that's a great place. I want to work there. So we're developing our future leaders.
Now, you said that 600 students and future leaders have gone through the Empower Leadership Program over the last now 9 years.
Yeah.
How many students apply for this? Are they rising sophomores, juniors? Talk to me a little bit more about that.
So we offer it to juniors in high school. So like this time of year, I start going out to all the schools and I visit with the sophomore class that'll be a junior next school year. And I give them a little snip of what Empower is, what they would expect from it, their opportunities within the program. Like we give away scholarships, they have an opportunity to go on youth tour, opportunity to go on youth excursion, you know, just outside of what the program offers itself. And so I go to our 23 districts. That's what we have within our service territory. They do not have to be a member. They just have to attend a school within our district. So that was something that we went back and forth a lot on do we mm-hmm. offer to just members' children? Well, eventually you may run out of students because people aren't necessarily moving out of rural, you know, areas if they're landowners or farmers within those areas. Their children may move on, but there's not a lot of newer children within those areas. And so we really thought, why wouldn't we offer this to everybody within those districts? Because they may be a member someday, or they may be our employee or board of director. And so it's been open to any student that attends a school district within our service territory. And we've taken a lot of time to develop relationships with the schools to say, hey, we want to come in, we want to talk to these students, this is what we're doing. And they are always open-armed, welcome us in, give me dedicated time to spend with the students to promote the program. We do limit to 40 in the program. We had 1 year, we had like 86. And while that sounds great in numbers, it was a lot. 86 in the program. Yep. Ooh. 86 in the program. And it was a lot. On number wise, it looks great, right? Like a lot of kids were in the program that year. But from a logistics standpoint, we had to rent a lot of facilities because we hold it in-house. We have community rooms that are big enough for us. We weren't big enough anymore. And right now, when they come into the program, they may be the only one from their school. So they have to build relationships with other students. When they were coming in that larger group, they were just sticking with the people that they knew. And so we kind of lost some of what we wanted from the program. So I actually went back to our leadership and said, I'd really like to recommend that we cap it at 40. And that's what we've done going forward. Applications vary. You know, we had an odd year, a couple years with COVID there, where we really had to rebrand and get creative on our marketing and launching the program because we had lost all that momentum of previous students when we brought it back. And so we generally get anywhere, you know, 50 on up, you know, for applications depending on the year, which is great. We're recognized now that colleges, other programs recognize Empower Youth as a positive thing on their resumes, on their applications for other scholarships, or to even get admitted into college. I get asked a lot for letters of reference for those types of things. And so it's pretty cool to see how it's evolved, you know, from a program where they come, you know, four times a year to now it's making an impact on them as they make future choices for themselves.
I love that. You mentioned that you had to get creative with marketing. And I think a lot of folks with youth programs are facing that same challenge, especially after the pandemic had some fun with blocking folks from getting into the schools and making those relationships. So you did lose some of your biggest champions for that part of your story when everyone graduated. So I heard you talk about this a few weeks ago when we were together. I believe you said you used Snapchat advertising.
I did.
And that was one of the main ways. What else worked really well for rebranding?
We, at that time, changed our Empower logo completely. We wanted to come out with a new bang. Like, hey, we're still the same great program, but we have a new look, you know, added flair. And while we changed the logo, we developed a couple different videos to go with it from material from previous sessions. And we would tweak them depending on our audience. So if it was on Facebook, we made sure it was tailored, you know, to the a little bit older generation, the parents, maybe the older sibling. If it was on Instagram, you may hit the generation that you want, but you still may hit their older sibling or older cousin or relative. And then on Snapchat, you're limited to a certain amount of time. And so we had to get really creative on what we wanted played on there and the demographic that it was going to hit. We still used, you know, the newsletter that goes out to the grandparent because, you know, they're going to tell their granddaughter or grandson to apply for the program. we still sent flyers to the school, but then we also included these videos for them to play on their boards that are in the hallways. We asked their sophomore teachers to play it to their classroom when I couldn't get into those rooms. I got really creative with what types of incentives can I offer to previous Empower alumni, even though they were in their college years. How can I incentivize them to encourage students to apply? Because they still had connections back to their, you know, their high schools that they graduated with. And to my surprise, it worked. And I was a little nervous. And I would tell anybody that, you know, we were basically starting new. And we wanted to make sure that we were reaching our target audiences. And we didn't know if it would work or not. And when my first application came in and it said they saw it on Snapchat, I was like, hallelujah, it worked. Because a lot of the generation uses Snapchat to communicate, and you can set, you know, a geographical area to target that you want that ad to be played to just that area and just this age, and it worked. And so we continue to use that today. And I do, I'm back in the schools now, you know, now that we're a few years past COVID, I've been able to get back in the schools. And that still works really well because you're right there. You have your captive audience. They see you. And then I bring along Empower students from that year, bring them along, tell them about your experience through the program because they're your biggest champion. You know, they've gone through it. They know how they feel about it. Of course, I'm going to say it's a great program, but to hear it from their peers makes a big difference.
Well, and I think one of the things that's unique about your program is the way that you funnel all of your scholarships through the program and your youth tour applications. They have to be involved with Empower, right?
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about how the program has changed your scholarship and youth opportunity efforts.
Yeah. So youth tour, for example, if they want to apply for youth tour, they have to be in the Empower program. It's an exclusive opportunity for our Empower students to be able to go on youth tour. And so right now I'm actually reviewing the applications through the program that came in. And then I have other employees grade their essays and stuff because I know these students. And so I want to have that non-biased, you know, look at those applications. I black out the names and I just put a number on each one and send it off to the employees that have that are going to be grading those essays. And then I've had them interview with previous youth tour winners and members from our board, usually one or two members from our board. And there's a few questions on, you know, why are you interested in going to Washington, D.C.? What are you hoping to learn while you're there? For them to have a different experience. And that's part of that process, too. The other part of them being selected for youth tour is how have they volunteered through the year that they've been in Empower? So they can earn points for being involved in their communities, for volunteering for certain things, and they submit those throughout the year, and that all goes into their final overall score to aid them to earn that opportunity for youth tour. Our scholarship system is set up very similar. They submit an essay, and then they also earn points for attending their Empower sessions, for attending their district meeting within their area, and if they came to the annual meeting at the beginning of the year. And then their volunteer points all total a total score for them. When they earn those scholarships, we actually recognize them at our annual meeting. So they get in front of our membership and they're recognized for these scholarships that they've earned through Empower. I think it's incredibly important for our membership to see what we're doing with the youth and that we're making an impact on them, that these are future leaders and what our program has evolved to over the years. And that has been an excellent change. You know, their parents come, people that may not have ever come to an annual meeting before. We're getting younger generations there. It's a different crowd than maybe we've had in the past. And so we're really creating more touch points too to say, hey, this is what an annual meeting is and what we do and why it's good to come. And we're going to recognize your student for the scholarship that they earned through the year.
Do any of the students speak at your annual meeting?
We haven't done that yet. I don't know if that's something we'll offer in the future or not. It has been talked about, you know, what level does that look like? And so right now, last year, we tried a new format for our annual meeting where we actually had three locations for our annual meeting and live broadcasted the main location to two other spots. And so, yeah, we've been trying all different things. We're actually going to be doing that again this year. So we have like one main location that gets broadcasted out to two other locations. So we're always up for something new.
I love that about what y'all are doing at Sioux Valley. And I'm just curious, how many total scholarships do you give away every year?
It varies. I try to not give anything out like under $500. And the reason why is college is so expensive. You can't even hardly buy books for $500. And so I wanted them to at least have enough money to buy books, you know, with the scholarship that we give them. So depending on how many applications that we have come in and how they score is generally how we divide out the money. We give away a few $1,000 ones, some $750, and then $500. The one thing I forgot to mention is if they were elected onto the Empower Youth Advisory Board, that earns them an automatic scholarship for being a part of that board, because then they walk alongside me and help plan that year. They offer ideas for team builders. They run the team builders for those sessions. They're actively involved in the promotion of the program for that next year. We try to model it similar to a cooperative with our board, only, you know, they're more involved with the day-to-day with Empower. But it gives them an opportunity to be a leader in a role, and they're elected by their Empower students that are in the room with them.
Oh, I like that. And then they're involved when they are a senior in high school, right?
Yep.
And how many people are on that committee?
Five. Yep.
Five. Okay.
Yep. So we just had a session here a couple weeks ago, our last one for the year. And so then they give up, they get a 1 minute why you should vote for me type, whatever. I've had students rap. I've had students sing. I've had them be a comedian. It's been across the board of what they do. And then they vote. We hand out ballots. They vote on their five. And then we announce them that day, take a new group picture for the new advisory board. And then they're the ones for that next year.
So then they could get a scholarship for their participation this year. And then add on a scholarship through the advisory committee service next year. Yep. I like that. I like building in advocates for your program and people to help you run the program. And it gives them some extra leadership skills as well, which is really nice.
It's worked really nice.
I mean, I feel like I could talk to you about this all day.
I agree.
I will say that. Look, it's exciting. Just finding ways to really tap into the younger generation and do some rewarding work with them as well and help make their lives better. Now, you have offered all of the branding, which I love the brand, the new brand that you came out with for Empower, and support materials for that. You have that available for folks if they want to see it, if they want to use some of it. We will have that link at pioneer.coop/podcasts in the episode with Chanel. So we'll have a link there. So people can continue the conversation with you and learning from you. But I have just one last question before I let you go. Do you have any tips for utility pioneers who want to really forge long-lasting relationships with the next generation of consumer members?
I would tell you to not be afraid to try it. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid just because it might not be your expertise in the technology or that world that they're living in. Don't be afraid to try. There's always somebody that can help you along the way to say, oh, this is how you use that app, or this is the best way to communicate with them, or whatever it may be. Don't be afraid to try it. You know, we went through that where it was like, what are we going to do? We could have just rolled over and washed our hands with it, but it was to say, no, let's try it. If it doesn't work, we're never going to know if it didn't work unless we try it. And it is so important from my perspective to really take the time to invest in the youth because they are our future. And we want them to be connected to us so that they come back someday and say, that's a great place to be a part of.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing your story with Utility Pioneers and inspiring all of us to try some new things to build a more educated and excited member base. She is Chanel Christensen from Sioux Valley Energy, and I'm your host, Megan McCoy-No at Pioneer Utility Resources. And until we talk again, keep telling your story.
Story Connect is produced by Pioneer Utility Resources, a communications cooperative that is built to share your story. Story Connect is engineered by Lucas Smith of Lucky Sound Studio.